Welcome to the Dr. Janine Show. Today we were talking all about shocking facts about hair loss and tips for hair growth. I will be sharing causes of hair loss and of course some of the best natural tips that I have for growing your long, healthy hair. I will also be sharing some shocking facts that you have not heard about the relationships between certain things that I'm sure you're doing every single day as that's related to hair loss. So don't go anywhere. Make sure you stay tuned right until all of those shocking facts that I'll be dropping today in today's episode. Okay, so what are some of the most common hair loss causes? Well, one of them, of course, is stress. So when our cortisol levels are all over the place, of course, these are our stress hormones, this can definitely cause a loss of hair. And this is something that you may have experienced in your own life, and definitely that correlation is there. Another cause for hair loss is low thyroid. So this is something that's very commonly, I find so more in women, that the thyroid function is underperforming, and this can be another cause for that hair loss, as well as other hormonal concerns for women like polycystic ovaries. There's often a hair loss associated with that as well. Now, there's something that I've talked about a lot in other videos, and if you've not yet seen my videos about leptin resistance, yes, hair loss can be related to leptin resistance as well, which has to do with what's going on in terms of our brain getting the right signaling from our fat cells as to our state of affairs. And this is sort of a survival mechanism that our body has, and that leptin resistance is definitely related to the health and the look of our healthy hair. Another cause for hair loss is a poor light environment. So when you are under artificial light all day, which tends to be much higher in that blue spectrum, this is very damaging to our hair follicles. So I'm going to share a little bit more about light and what we can do to maximize our hair growth based on our light environment. Another hair loss cause is definitely some dietary and sometimes supplemental deficiencies. So whether that is iron, so low iron levels, low B12 levels, low vitamin D, and as you can imagine, that's related, of course, to those light cycles as well, and low zinc. Now, we know that all of these important minerals are very integral in the healthy formation of our keratin, our collagen, and our elastin as well. So that's really important for knowing about these different hair loss causes, as well as another big cause, which you may not have thought about, is parasites. So parasitic infections in the gut, often undiagnosed or underdiagnosed in my opinion. So something to definitely think about, the health of your microbiome, which I will be sharing some tips on that as well. Another cause for hair loss is low protein. So you've got to make sure that number one, you're eating enough food in general, enough calories, but also that you're getting enough protein, which of course those amino acids are the building blocks for healthy keratin or healthy hair. Some people, when they go on to a very restrictive diet and they're cutting down their calories and their protein a lot, this can have an impact, and you may have experienced this yourself with that hair loss. Even keto for some people who get off of the carbohydrates completely, or you do a very low carbohydrate diet, you could notice some hair loss as well. So always doing things in the proper balance is important. Another cause for hair loss is, of course, hormonal issues. So you could have too much progesterone, and this can happen a lot of times postpartum, after you've had the baby, and this is something that I went through 4 times with 4 of my babies, is that loss of estrogen as related to that high estrogen that you had during pregnancy. And then, of course, all of that hair falls out, and usually it's around, you know, the face area. That's where I lost my hair, but thankfully it does come back. And another cause for hair loss is trauma. So yes, especially as women, I think, but the guys do it as well. We do a lot of trauma to our hair. So whether that's the braids, the ponytails, the weaves, the extensions, the wrong products on our hair, the heat that we use, we really have to be mindful of what we actually do to our hair in order to make it not be a hair loss problem. Okay, now I'm going to dive into the causes of alopecia. So alopecia, we know, is more common in African Americans, and this is something that is an autoimmune condition. And there is a link here as well, as you can imagine. with leptin resistance and also insulin resistance as it's related to developing alopecia. So in this study, it's interesting to note that the role of adiponectin and leptin in patients with alopecia areata and scalp hair loss. So this is something that they found in the conclusions to our knowledge. This is the first report indicating that adiponectin and leptin probably has a role in the pathogenesis of alopecia with scalp hair involvement. So that's something that we have to be mindful of, that fixing our leptin resistance and of course our insulin resistance and keeping our blood glucose levels under control. But leptin resistance, if you've seen my other videos, has a lot to do with what's going on in our environment as it's related to our circadian rhythms as well. So that's something to definitely learn more about. Now, I want to share a shocking fact. So ladies, if you've, and guys as well, I'm sure, if you have had Botox injections, it has been reported that women getting Botox, especially in forehead wrinkles, have noticed, and their doctors have now indicated, that there has been a receding of their hairline. So the question is, how safe is Botox if you're at all concerned about hair loss and alopecia? So in this study, it was actually noted that frontal alopecia after repeated botulinum toxin A type injections in forehead wrinkles and underestimated entities. So, and they were saying that the dermatologist should be aware of the possible occurrence of frontal alopecia after repeated injections of botulinum toxin type A for forehead wrinkles. So, not sure if your doctor or your practitioner who has injected the Botox into your forehead has indicated this type of correlation to you. So just wanted to put it out there. So, and for those of you who don't know, we actually had a discussion about this in our office here at the Dr. Jean Show. And it was shocking to some of my team members that botulism toxin, that's what Botox is. It is the botulism toxin, yes, which is being injected into the body. For the beauty benefits, of course, and there are other benefits of using the botulism toxin, I guess, but again, just putting it out there so that you have this information. Now, another one of the causes of alopecia could be heavy metal toxins. So this is something that I often educate people about, especially in the consumption of fish and fish oil products, that you really have to be aware of those heavy metal toxins in the body. And more importantly, doing full body detox a few times a year to make sure you're staying a step ahead of that toxicity to get those toxins out of your body, as this could be related to your hair loss as well. So now I'm going to share the shocking link between hair loss and your gut microbiome. I'm going to go over to Lucy now, and Lucy helps me to demonstrate what's going on in terms of our overall digestion, but our microbiome in the gut is very important for our ability to stay healthy. So when we're talking about the healthy gut microbiome, we're focusing in on what's going on, and the microbiome basically means what is happening in terms of the balance between our good and bad organisms in the gut. Now, when we've got enough of the good guys, the probiotics in our digestive tract, this is really preventative for things getting out of whack. And when we're talking about hair loss, of course, our nutrient density and all of those nutrients that our hair need come from the proper absorption of the nutrients in the gut, in the microbiome. So when we've got our good probiotics in our gut, they're helping for us to digest our vitamins and our minerals. In our diet, this is meaning proper care formation and absorbing those amino acids from our proteins. Now, when we have an unhealthy microbiome, what's happening is that we could have a lot of parasites. We could have those gut bugs, those intestinal worms. It could be even candida, and not a healthy microbiome. This is the unhealthy microbiome. This could be the gas, the bloating. This could be the hair loss as well. So that's why it's really important to take care of our microbiome, keep it more on the up and up, making sure that we're getting enough live foods, probiotics, foods every day, so that even if those bad guys wanted to get in and to penetrate, they're warded off. They can't attach themselves to that intestinal wall when we have enough of our good guys, our probiotics. And that's one of the reasons in terms of hair loss. Now, Lucy doesn't have any hair. Does she? But in terms of proper hair growth, we want to make sure that we're taking care of our gut microbiome. And there are different ways to do that, of course, always eating a healthy diet, high in fiber, but getting enough probiotics in your gut as well is really important. So some of my favorite probiotic-containing foods include sauerkraut, I love kimchi, and yogurt. So if you tolerate dairy products well, then you're going to look for a grass-fed yogurt product. Or you can also go with one of the vegetarian options for your yogurt, but making sure that it's the good strains of those probiotics, which can be difficult to find in yogurt products. That's one of the reasons that I choose to take a probiotic supplement, and with the specific strains of Acidophilus and Bifidobacterium bifidum for my gut, because it's designed for a human microflora. So that's something that you can look for, and definitely helpful for healthy hair. And of course, that link between your microbiome and that hair loss. Okay, now I want to share 9 of the best foods for healthy hair. So food group number 1, seafood, one of my absolute favorites, especially oysters. Now oysters are loaded with nutrients, specifically for the hair and for healthy hair. Zinc, iodine, selenium are found in oysters as well, and magnesium. So these are some of the best choices that you can make in terms of your food choices, is to incorporate more proteins from seafood. Food number 2 is fatty fish. So salmon especially is great. Make sure it's always a wild salmon. It's very high in that DHA. There's other fish that are great for your DHA source, but sometimes you may need to go to a supplement as well to have that high concentration of DHA, which is that omega-3, really does help with healthy hair and for the shine and sheen of your hair as well. Another food that I love is almonds. So this is another healthy hair food, great because of the essential fats in almonds and a natural source for vitamin E, as are avocados, which also have our healthy fats and that natural vitamin E that is great for, again, protecting the hair and the keratin growth of your hair. Another food that I love are eggs. Now eggs, especially the yolks of the eggs, they have the vitamin E, which is naturally occurring, but eggs naturally contain biotin, and biotin being a B vitamin, it helps with our keratin and our protein formation, really important for that healthy hair. So food number 6 is leafy greens, and spinach is fantastic for your hair and really, really important for that healthy keratin. Food number 7 of healthy hair foods is grass-fed beef. So not only is it loaded with protein, but also iron. And this is the type of iron that your body naturally will absorb very well. So that is really important that it is grass-fed though. Food number 8 for healthy hair is berries. So berries are fantastic because they're high in vitamin C. Of course, we need vitamin C for healthy collagen and for the strength of our hair. And food number 9 for healthy hair is sweet potatoes. So sweet potatoes are great. They're loaded with natural vitamin A from the beta carotene. That's why anything that is in that rich orange color in terms of fruits and vegetables will be high in that beta carotene, which of course we need that vitamin A for healthy hair growth. Now I'll share 7 of the best vitamins and supplements for hair loss. So my first and probably most favorite is a hydrolyzed grass-fed collagen supplement. So this is something that I take most days of the week, and this is something that absolutely amazing that I've even noticed for my own hair growth. This is something that really feeds your hair with those specific amino acids, especially the L-lysine is one that you want to look for that is in a high concentration in your hydrolyzed grass-fed collagen. Hydrolyzed meaning that it's already pre-digested, and grass-fed, as we know, is very important. It's always about the health of the animal in terms of how healthy that product will be for you, and in terms of collagen, that's what you're looking for. Number 2 on the list of the 7 best vitamins and supplements for hair loss is DHA. So as I mentioned, when we're talking about fish oils, not all fish are very healthy anymore, unfortunately, and that's due to, of course, the PCBs, the dioxins, the mercury, and the other heavy metals that can be in fish. So it's something you really have to be aware of. So that's why I love to take my DHA supplement every single day. And I always take mine in the morning. I take it with supplement number 3 on my list, which is magnesium. So that combination together, really important for that leptin signaling, which I talked about earlier in terms of hair loss, but also making sure that you're feeding your body with that protection from the EMF damage, which which is another shocking fact that I'm going to share in just a moment. Supplement number four on my favorite list for supplements for hair loss is iron. So this is something that you definitely have to make sure that you are optimizing your iron levels. Definitely, I find more commonly with women that we can have an iron deficiency due to our menstrual cycles, and our hair can fall out when our iron is low. So that's something you definitely want to get checked in your blood work. Find out where your iron is at. But always, if you are supplementing, always look for an iron bisglycinate. And the reason for this is that it will have proper absorption and also be very gentle on your stomach. A lot of people who take iron, they don't like it very well because it makes them feel sick and it's very constipating. And the iron bisglycinate will not do that for you. Supplement number five on my list is supporting your thyroid. So a thyroid support supplement will give you the iodine that you're looking for, but also, especially if you have a low thyroid function, even if you're medicated for this, it's really important to support that thyroid gland to help with maintaining your healthy hair so that you don't have that hair loss. And number six on my list is vitamin B12. So this is really important. When you have a B12 deficiency, you can definitely suffer with hair loss. So it's something that you definitely want to make sure that you're getting enough of your vitamin B12. And supplement number seven is vitamin D. So vitamin D, as we know, natural sunlight exposure, really important for hair loss, but also we may need to supplement depending on where you live and what season it is to make sure that you're optimizing your vitamin D levels. So this part of the show is all about the Dr. Janine truth, and I'd like to share the link between EMFs, and I'm talking man-made electromagnetic fields and forces and radiation, and hair loss. So this is something that if you didn't yet know, there's definitely data that shows an indication that cell phone use can really slow down our hair growth and have an effect, especially on the side. So if you tend to hold your phone on one side more than the other, it can affect hair loss in that area on that side of the head. So when we're talking about non-native or man-made EMFs, this is the non-natural electromagnetic frequencies and forces and fields and radiation, of course, that we can get from our cell phones, from our devices, so whether that's our tablets, our television screens. This is something that we have to be aware of. So I'm like the EMF police. I bought this little device. I just purchased it online, and it's an EMF reader. And there's different, of course, grades and qualities of this. This is just a simple one, but it gets the point across. So I just want you to know, and that correlation between hair loss, if you've never thought about this before, that this is one of the reasons why I tell everybody to put your phone on airplane mode. So as you can see, my phone is on airplane mode, and this is what I usually recommend, that if you're not expecting a call and you can be on the wireless, on the Wi-Fi, it's still not great, but it's better than having your cell phone signal on. And you can see my reader, I'll hold it right up to the phone, is not really reading much. But now I am going to switch my phone over, take off the airplane mode, and you can see what happens. So because it's receiving that signal from the cell phone tower, I'm getting that reading that things are not so good. So I'm going to put that back on airplane mode because I'm still here chatting with you. I want everybody to put your phone on airplane mode for as much of the day as possible. And one of the mechanisms, so I'm going to go back over, could be happening here is that through DNA breakage and the formation of reactive oxygen species, or ROSs as they're called, this can have a negative impact on what's going on, not just on our cellular health, but on the health of our hair as well, and can be related to that hair loss. So some of my tips here is definitely don't use the wireless headphones, so those little thingies that go in your ear if you're listening to your phone, and that's your, try to use the wired headphones, that's going to be much better for you, and try not to use Bluetooth anything. And of course, don't have your phone plugged in close to you, especially when you're sleeping. When you're sleeping, it should be like a haven away from EMFs, and try to keep your phone far, far away from you, and charge it. If you're charging your phone overnight, charge it far away from where you're sleeping. Now it's time for the show for our viewer spotlight. So I thank everyone who has shared all of your positive comments and feedback over the years here at the Dr. Janine Show. And we just wanted to focus in on this week's viewer spotlight. And this is from Susan. So Susan, thank you so much for commenting on the YouTube channel. Just found your channel, Susan says, and I love it. Love how you tie everything together. Low carb and circadian rhythm. And that was with a big smiley face, happy face, hearts emoji. So thank you, Susan. It was so great that you were able to comment. And please continue to send in all of your great comments and your feedback here to the Dr. Jean Show. We truly appreciate it. And maybe you'll be featured in one of our episodes. I promised I'd share some more shocking facts. So here's the shocking fact between hair growth and sunlight. So one study actually showed that the blue light naturally occurring from sunlight stimulated hair growth. And it's one thing that I talk about leptin resistance when we're talking about looking at that sunrise in the morning for our overall metabolism and of course our circadian rhythms and to decrease inflammation and autoimmunity in our body. It's another thing for the beauty benefits of seeing that sunrise. So yes, those blue wavelengths of that early morning sunlight, very reparative to our hair and can help with hair growth. But there's a caution here because when you hear blue light, it's often in the negative sense. And most of the blue light that unfortunately we're exposed to on a daily basis is from artificial light. So blue light at the wrong time of day, so later in the day, will not be helpful. It can mess up our circadian cycles and our sleep rhythms as well as cause hair loss. So my indication here and what I usually suggest is to get some natural sunlight exposure first thing in the morning, absolutely on your head, in your eyes. So don't wear a hat, don't wear sunglasses, try not to wear sunscreen, of course, as well. And then midday, you want a little bit of that UV sun on your scalp. Why is that? Well, UV helps to take care of some of the bad bugs that could be happening and parasites and things that can be on the skin and in the scalp. But that is really reparative because of our vitamin D levels as well to help with that hair growth. So that's something that, again, sunlight in the right way, at the right time, in the right dosage is very reparative and really helpful for your hair growth. Now, in this study, it's interesting to note that low-intensity laser therapy of the scalp at a specific wavelength, so at 655 nanometers, significantly improved hair counts in males with androgenetic alopecia. So that is related to hair loss in men, as we know, but this is something that the study showed that specific wavelengths of that light can be very helpful. So that's usually in the red wavelength, and it's something that I think is very interesting. And that's why we see a lot of red light therapy these days in terms of being able to help with hair growth. The research shows that it can be helpful. So what is the mechanism for the red light working? And red lights are something that there are a bunch of different types on the market available. This one is 670 nanometers. I use it for helping with eyesight, but for hair growth as well. So this is close to what was done in the study. Again, I will always suggest that you seek your practitioner's advice on the use of red lights to make sure that you're doing it in a safe way for your body. But how is the mechanism working for this? Well, we know that there are cytochromes, which are proteins in our mitochondria, and these cytochromes absorb photons of light and then activating that mitochondrial energy cycle. So when we have dormant hair follicles, so they're not growing, they're asleep, we can wake them up with the absorption of those red light photons. And this is something that the cytochrome, so the photoreceptor proteins in the scalp cells, absorb that red light and those photons and those energy particles will stimulate those dormant hair follicles. So it's like waking up the sleeping giant. And it has been found that it can take about 3 to 6 months for that red light therapy to see visible changes in the hair growth. Our hair only grows about a half an inch per month, so of course it is a slow growth, but it doesn't necessarily grow faster with the red light therapy, but you'll start to see more hair growth. So those dormant follicles will wake up and you'll start to see thicker hair. Now I'll share some easy tips for growing long, healthy hair. And the question often comes up, how often should one wash their hair? Well, this is something where I've experimented with different scenarios throughout the years. Some people say to wash your hair just once a week and allow for the natural oils to, you know, go through your hairs right to the ends. I'm not so convinced that that is the best way to go. So I believe that washing the hair every 2 to 3 days is probably best. And one of the reasons for this is that, of course, the oils and the debris can build up on the scalp, and we want to wash that away to allow for the proper growth of the hair follicle. The other aspect is there's something called DHT, dihydrotestosterone, which can build up on the scalp. And if we leave it too long without washing, this can actually shut down the growth of the hair follicles. So every 2 to 3 days is my recommendation. I'm curious from you though, how often do you wash your hair? Drop it in the comments below and let's start that dialogue. Another tip for growing long, healthy hair is to be aware of the products that you're using on your hair, because certain products can contain ingredients that will actually cause hair loss. So sulfates are very commonly found in shampoos and other hair products. That's something to be aware of, and other chemicals as well. So the cleaner shampoo that you are utilizing without a lot of chemicals definitely will be better, not only for your hair, but in terms of your overall toxicity in your body. And that's why I'm a big proponent of doing a full body detox a few times a year to get those extra toxins out of your body. Now, another tip for growing long, healthy hair is to watch what you're using in terms of your styling. So, do you use elastics in your hair to tie it up, put it in a ponytail? Do you use a lot of heat tools? Do you use other chemicals like the relaxants and other glues and things on your scalp? And that's going to compromise and put a lot of pressure on your hair follicles. You have to be aware of this. So a little bit of stress is probably good. So that's why massaging the scalp can be very helpful. Giving that a little bit of and easing that tension in the scalp is very important as well. So a little bit of stress on the hair follicle is probably okay, but too much of anything is not a good thing, and you will see that your hair is falling more quickly if you are using a lot of these extra agents and chemicals on your hair, so be very aware of that. I love to use natural ingredients for my hair, and once in a while, so probably once a month, I like to do a hair growth mask. And so this is a great hair growth mask recipe I want to share with you, which includes 1/4 cup of avocado oil, 1/2 avocado, so without the pit, of course, so just the flesh of the avocado. You're going to mix this all into a bowl with 1/4 cup of coconut oil, 1 egg, and 2 tablespoons of honey. Now you're going to mix this all up, apply it to dry hair, and you're going to let it sit for 1 to 2 hours. Now it doesn't smell horrible. I always get the question, okay, what does this smell like? It's fine. You're going to, if you'd like, you can wrap, I have like one of these sort of special turban types of hair wraps, towel things that I like to put on top of my hair when I put on my hair masks. And you're going to allow this to penetrate into your hair for 1 to 2 hours. This is one that I don't necessarily recommend that you sleep in overnight. It can be a bit messy, but just allow the natural body heat of your body. Allow for these oils to penetrate your hair, and then of course go and shampoo your hair, hopefully with natural shampoo and natural conditioner as well. After the fact that you've done your hair growth mask, you will love how soft your hair becomes. Now, another quick hack for another recipe, which is really easy, is just use the first ingredient that I listed there, which is the avocado oil. So this is something that I love to do even once every couple of weeks. Just put the avocado oil, which I purchase from the health food store. It's more in the beauty section than in the edible section, but any type of avocado oil will do. Put that in your hair, wrap it up, and then that one you can sleep in overnight. It's not going to stain your clothing. It's amazing. And then of course the next day you just shampoo it out. You will love how soft your hair is. Here are my 9 tips for preventing and stopping hair loss. So tip number 1 is do that full body detox. I talked about that in today's episode, getting those toxins out. We put a lot of toxins on our hair, on our scalp, in our body in general, and this can compromise our hair growth. So doing a good full body detox a few times a year is very important. Tip number 2 for stopping hair loss is to get that natural sunlight exposure on your head and on your body, in your eyes as well. Do that in the morning, so that sunrise light is very important, as well as midday, some UV, and sunset as well. The red and infrared rays from the sun as the sun is setting is very helpful for your hair as well. Tip number three for stopping hair loss is to limit your EMF exposure. So remember, those EMFs that you can test for around your home, you'd be surprised some of the places where you have exposure to EMFs. Really decrease your exposure as much as possible. Put your cell phones on airplane mode for most of the day if you can. Hey, and if you can get out of an environment that has the EMFs altogether, make sure you do that. Tip number four for stopping hair loss is fix your microbiome. You want to fix that leaky gut. We want to put those good probiotics back into our diet and into our everyday solution for fixing our microbiome. Tip number five is eat foods that are good for your hair. Some of my favorites, of course, I mentioned in today's episode. I love almonds, avocados, great for healthy hair. Tip number six is avoid the polyunsaturated fatty acids. They are very inflammatory. So things like canola oil, corn oil, vegetable oil, just get them out of your diet. They're very inflammatory. They cause a lot of problems in terms of the health of our hair, and your hair can fall out just from this inflammation alone. Tip number seven is to take some supplements, especially if you're deficient, for your hair. So things like iron, as well as magnesium, which protects from the EMFs as well, really important. Of course, vitamin B12 is something else that I mentioned in today's episode. Tip number eight is fix your leptin resistance. So you've got to fix that autoimmunity. So if it is related to alopecia and there's a lot of inflammation and there's an autoimmune component to your hair loss, that needs to be fixed. And usually this starts with leptin resistance. So if you don't know what leptin resistance is, please check out my videos and my tips how to fix your leptin resistance. And tip number nine for stopping hair loss is that mind-body connection. So I want you to think about, so if you do have hair loss, this is something that's happening for you, maybe it's alopecia, I want you to ask yourself, who or what is making you pull your hair out? This is remarkable, because if you've never made this connection before, and I'm all about, you know, how the mind and the body work together, causing certain symptoms for us, and hair loss could be one of them. If you've never thought about this, just think about it and then do something about it. Either have a different reaction to that person or thing that's causing you the stress for your hair to fall out. You got to do things differently yourself. You can't change anybody else, but you can change yourself. So today I talked all about the shocking facts about hair loss, tips for hair growth. I hope that you learned something new today. Please share this video with your friends. For more tips on how to do a full body detox, check out my video, 9 Ways to Detox and Cleanse for a Total Body Detox. Be well, everyone, and we'll see you next week. We'll be right back.